account when I really needed something and I didn't have it, and then I had to do an assessment or I looked at what I was spending my money on, that kind of gave me my wake-up call when I really, really, really needed the money. And then when I had to go ask for money because I didn't have what I needed, that kind of just killed me.
Has your wallet been taking a hit? Are you ready to stop the money leaks? Find out what your spending triggers are and how you can fight back on today's show. Welcome to the Couple Money Podcast, the show where we share stories and advice on building up your marriage and wealth. I'm Elle Martinez. Last week, I mentioned how you can reboot your finances with one simple trick. Track your spending on a daily basis. One of the biggest reasons we break our budget is overspending. Yes, there are cases of major purchases killing our savings, but more common are these impulsive buys we make that on their own aren't too bad, but when combined can empty our savings and can cause us to feel stressed out. According to a survey done by Harris Interactive, about 53% of people admitted that they made purchases to celebrate an occasion. On average, an American between the ages of has over $4,500 of credit card debt, yet over 60% of Americans do not have enough in the bank to cover a $500 emergency. Does any of this sound familiar? Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you're looking to do better. So how can you break the cycle? Tara Jackson, also known as Madam Money, is here to share her story. In this episode, we get into how she knew she had a spending problem and the warning signs that you can look for, the triggers that pushed her and how she began fixing them, and resources that helped her out. Many times, we don't realize what's going on until after the purchase. And that can be detrimental, especially for couples, if both of them aren't aware of what's going on. You have to keep your eyes out for signs that you're overspending.
Yeah, there's a couple signs that, especially because in my book, Financial Fornication, I talk about how we spend the most when we feel the least, and you're not feeling well or you're feeling down or whatever. You're probably going to go for anything that has a transaction because the transaction releases that dopamine. It releases that feel-good mechanism. So some of the signs is that they'll shop to numb the pain. They'll buy things that they don't need. So if, you know, you open the closet and there's a whole bunch of stuff with still the price tag on them. They'll hide some of the things that they purchase. If you happen to find a whole bunch of stuff hidden in places, they shop alone because they don't want to, you know, be ridiculed or told that they can't do it. You know, it causes some form of arguments with money. They get a serious high off of that transaction, but they deal with severe buyer's remorse. So when I was dealing with major depression, I would go and spend money. My thing was food, alcohol, and technology, anything electronic. And so I had all the techie things you can think of. And I've eaten, you know, now I'm, you know, size 18 plus, and I've gained all this weight, and I have a hangover. And so at the next day, I'm like, why did I spend all that money? It just made me feel worse. And because I feel worse, what did I do? I try to go back for the high, which was another transaction. So I would go find some other stuff to buy. So it's a vicious cycle until you really get a handle on it.
We can't list all the triggers and factors that lead you to spend. But I do want to cover some of the major ones. Stress has been a recurring theme with people I've talked to. I know from personal experience, when you feel like you're losing control about some aspect, maybe it's work, family, you feel like spending can temporarily fix it. You have control over that. It could also be comparison. There's an expectation, maybe because of your family, your income, your position, that you have to make these purchases to keep up, whether it is explicitly stated or implied. And for some who struggle with boredom, they see shopping as an outlet. Now, with Tara, she's able to look back and she saw that there was major stresses that she was dealing with that led her to spend more.
Well, one of the things I had to understand is I had to understand why was I spending? Why was I spending like I was doing? And it was because I was spending because of how I was feeling. And I was dealing with a lot. I was dealing with loneliness. I had broken up with my boyfriend for over 10 years, who might as well have been my husband. It felt like a divorce. I was hypertensive and had diabetes, so I was taking a lot of medication. Mm-hmm. So some of those medications, they have side effects, physical and mental side effects that cause depression. I was dealing with a lot of stress. I had lost my job. Well, and that causes a whole lot of other stress, and then money issues causes stress on top of that. I was dealing with emotional trauma. I had lost my grandmother, and then the year later, I lost my mother. And then I had a need for control. Since I couldn't control the world around me, I had to control something so I could control what I bought and my spending and all of that. So, and then I was dealing with a whole lot of grief, all of that loss. And then finding out my son had mental health issues and dealing with that kind of exacerbated everything. So when I nailed down what my symptoms were, I had to address the symptoms in order to stop what I was doing. So there's four things that I decided that I was going to do to fix it. One, I had to admit it. I had to admit that I had a problem. I had a mental problem that was caused by all of these emotional traumas that were going on around me. I also dealt with anxiety. After 9/11, I had a severe anxiety attack, which I had to get on medication, but I wasn't taking my medication, which caused more depression. So I had to admit, one, that I had a problem. I mm-hmm. then had to heal it. So I had to go and get some help from a medical professional or a mental health professional that can help me talk through it, help me to adjust, and put me on the right medications to address certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing I did was I had to quit it. I had to perform what I call financial abstinence. And in my book, Financial Fornication, I talk about financial abstinence. I had to stop. So I removed the temptation. So I didn't have access to my credit cards. I blocked the internet shopping sites from my computer, and it was more psychological. So when I had an urge to go to my favorite internet sites, mm-hmm. I blocked those sites, so it wouldn't be easy to access it. And then I started limiting my cash. I started putting myself on allowance. So I would put money away in accounts where bills automatically came out, or in a savings account where I had to work a little harder to get. And I only kept access, a limited access to cash for that. So I relatively had to put myself on allowance, because temptation is real when you're going through major trauma like that. And then I had to deal with it. I had to deal with the fact of what I was, feeling. So I had to find healthier ways to deal with it. So, maybe hanging out with my girlfriends and we go walking, or I, do exercising to have a sister circle, to talk to my mother when she was alive, or talk to, spend some time with my sister, or spend some more time with my son. So those are the four things that I had to incorporate in my life.
I think Tara has some great points here, because sometimes we try to treat the symptom and not get to the root of it. So how do you fight back against these psychological pressures? Tara had mentioned she found ways to minimize that temptation. Now, for many of us, ads seem to be a daily part of our life. We get pressures on what to buy, the newest things, and it can wear down on us. And I'm not talking about the television. It seems like the entire internet is sponsored by ads and powered by ads. And our willpower isn't limitless. So if you can, make sure you are opting out of the lists for emails. If you need to unsubscribe to those sales emails, Unroll Me is really helpful. If you're going out, make sure you leave your credit cards at home. You don't want to have that temptation, because sometimes we see a deal. Yes, I know it could be 50% off, but if you weren't planning on spending that money and you really don't need it, you're doing more harm than good. And if you have to, I do this all the time. I have a shopping list before I step into the store. What this does is it sets me up mentally that this is what I need to pick up. and helps me focus on that and not get distracted by what, again, is on sale or what they cleverly put out there to tempt me to buy. And of course, embrace accountability. You know how I love to talk about money dates and how important they are. So I'm not going to rehash everything here, but I do want to point out that having a weekly or monthly date can be helpful because you're both reviewing the cash flow. So if there's a lot of spending, we can catch it when it's a small problem rather than something larger. And you may find out that your spending is a sign of something deeper. Tara mentioned depression, bipolar disorder, or even compulsive spending. These are serious issues that do need to be addressed. And one of the best things you can do is have open and honest communication. I know that's easier said than done, but it can be a huge investment in your marriage and finances. If you haven't already, include it with your money dates. Look over the purchases, not to judge, but to understand. Ask one another, did this purchase make you happy? How do you feel about it now? You'll be surprised with the answers. You may discover that just being aware of where the money is going is enough to stop you from spending as much, but then also realizing which expenses bring you joy and which expenses are just a quick spending high.
I'm going to talk a lot about that in my next book that's coming out in November called The Four Financial Languages. And it talks about how we deal with finances. It's a language. So we speak spending, savings, investing, and giving. And one of the things I share with people is don't judge someone else because their sin is different than yours. So if someone's a spender, it's not that their language is wrong. It could be wrong if it's excessive, but you just respect it. But respect what the person is going through. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that they need to be ridiculed or chastised about it. Some things may be beyond their control, and if it is, then we need to help them seek help. So, seek to understand, to be understood. Sometimes you need to have that, serious conversation with them and ask a lot of questions to help them to help you understand what they're going through, what are some of the triggers, what are some of the symptoms, so they can get the appropriate help. If you don't feel like you are ready to have that conversation alone with them or not equipped to do that, then, find someone to assist you with that. For example, I do a lot of financial crisis management where I'm the mediator with couples sometimes when they're dealing with those money issues. And most of the time the money issues is just a remnant of something else, whether it's communication, whether it's mental or physical health issues, and all that. So find someone that you mutually respect that can possibly help you through the conversation if you don't feel like it. You feel like you're ready to do it. If your job has an employee assistance program, an EAP program, they may have some services to help you through that process as well. Because when you're dealing with someone that's dealing with mental health issues, they're in a fragile state. And some may know it and some may not. So you want to have someone that can help guide you through that and find a professional to do that.
So if you're trying to figure all of this out, please feel free to reach out. Go ahead and email me, l@couplemoney.com, or reach out to Tara.
You can always connect with me or email me, and I can share some more resources or look for more resources for you. And the whole thing is that each state is different. And so you really have to look into what your resources are in your in each state. But especially if you're working and your job has an employee assistance program, they have a significant amount of resources and can connect you with counselors, psychiatrists, physicians, and they'll pay for the first couple of sessions. So your first six sessions may be free, so you can at least try it out to see if it will help. And then you can always connect with me at madammoney.com. I have a wealth of information on my website, and you can connect with me at info@madammoney.com.
Special thanks to Tara for being on the show today. If you want to learn more about her or pick up her book, Financial Fornication, please check out madammoney.com. The show notes will have the links to all of the resources so you too can minimize and avoid those spending triggers. And if you haven't already, please make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. You'll get the latest stories and tips on building your wealth together sent to you. And it's free. We're out there on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Overcast, and more. You can also grab the feed off our site so you can listen to the show from whatever podcast service app you prefer. And if you too are ready to dump the debt and build wealth together, please pick up Jumpstart Your Marriage and Your Money. I've had quite a few people email me that they picked up a copy for their friends getting married and then picked up one for themselves. I think it's awesome. The more comfortable we can get with talking about marriage and money, the better. The book is out on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers. Our theme song was written and performed by Gentle Regime. Additional music by Lee Rosevere and Music for Makers. Finally, I want to say thank you so much. Couple Money Podcast is made possible because of awesome listeners like you. Your tweets, reviews, likes, and more are so encouraging. If there's a topic or question you want covered on the show, please let me know. I hope you have a great week. Take care.